From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Cookbook author and food blogger Alexandra Stafford of alexandracooks.com and I have declared it so. The 12 Days of Cookbooks begins now, as in perfect gift picks for holiday giving. More on our favorites in a moment, but first this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Last year, around holiday gifting time, my serious cookbook collecting friend, Alexandra Stafford, and I talked about our all-time favorites of the genre. And this year, we're focusing on the latest harvest, cookbooks that caught our attention among the many published in 2018. Ali is author of 2017's Bread, Toast, Crumbs, a book I love to give as a gift, by the way. So hi, Ali. I'm so glad you're making time to go through the piles because there's a lot this year, huh?
So many. I have added at least 20 to my collection.
All right. So now we need a confessional. How many cookbooks are in your collection?
Oh my gosh, I've lost count. Honestly, I really don't know. And I had to give some away because it was just too many. And I also have this lending system with my neighbors. They just have sort of free reign to my cookbook library. So they're out in the world, but it's still probably around, 550 or so.
Whoa. Okay. Well, interesting, so you have a lot, so you are always looking through new possibilities and so forth for keepers. And certain cookbooks appeal to certain people, but it's kind of not one size fits all. And your requirements and someone else's, even you and me, I mean, we may like different ones. So what does a book have to do to get a second look from you?
Right. No, I mean, and something I kind of realize more and more is that when I, people have not, they don't have, they not only have different tastes and what they like to eat and cook, but they also learn in different ways. So
yeah.
you and I may have the same taste, and the same preferences, but we may look at the same cookbook and you could find it totally appealing and I might find it unappealing. And, the more I talk to people about cookbooks, the more I learn about, what are deal breakers for people. So I know some serious bakers that if the cookbook does not give weights, they don't want to bake from it anymore.
They
have to have a cookbook that
gram scale.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Some people don't like it when it just says, oh, add a glug of olive oil. They want specific amounts. They want 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Some people don't mind the conversational tone. Some people have to have a beautiful, full color picture for every recipe. So it's interesting to know, and that's when you consider giving a book to somebody, it's helpful to know, how they cook or how they like to learn, I suppose.
Right. No, good point. So now you don't just page through the books like browsing. You try recipes because that's a lot of what you do on Alexandra's Kitchen, alexandracooks.com. That's what you do a lot of times is you'll, take the visitor. You'll say, hey, I saw this somewhere and I tried it and this is what I, and you bring it to life a lot of times. You take inspiration from other people's work too, as well as your own recipe development.
Yeah, and I've cooked from a lot of these new books. I've made, I haven't been able to cook from each one, but I've made one recipe from a number of them and everything has really, for the most part, been a home run. Things have been coming out really well. And even things that I'm not totally... I haven't necessarily fully embraced my Instant Pot, but I totally understand the appeal. And for instance, last night I made something from the Skinny Taste One and Done cookbook, which is all about one pot cooking, whether it's a pressure cooker, a slow cooker, a skillet, a grill pan. Everything is one pan.
Right.
And I was kind of astonished by how this dinner came together and I had one pan to clean up at the end of the night. So, things are coming out well and, I'm excited about this new group.
The new crop. You mentioned Skinny Tastes One and Done.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, you and I have tried to organize some of our thoughts so we can race through a lot of cookbooks. And I should say we're going to have, for 12 days of cookbooks, we're going to have a countdown that we're going to give away one of the books that we like every single day. And we'll tell people about that on Instagram and Facebook and on our website. So, you know, I'll give details of that with the transcript of how people can enter every day to win a book or to win.
Sure.
Yeah. So you just mentioned one that sort of fits into, we tried to categorize them, and that's sort of our weeknight-ish, everyday-ish cookbooks, right? That's in that group.
Right.
And what else is in that group this year?
Right. Okay, so that one, and just so people know, that was the easy spaghetti, and I forget what you called it, spaghetti and meat sauce, but essentially you throw the linguine the spaghetti with the water and the sauce all in the pan, all in the Instant Pot at once. You don't have to boil the water separately.
Okay.
You just add it all together. First, you brown the meat. But anyway, it was really fast and really good. So in that same category, Everyday Dory.
Oh yes.
Which is great. I made the spatchcock chicken with za'atar, cumin, sumac. It's really, really good. It just comes together really quickly. There's a little bit of wine, a little bit of stock. You could definitely use water, but there's this nice broth. The garlic and the onions get just soft and delicious as the chicken cooks. That was another hit.
We should say that's Dory Greenspan.
Dory Greenspan.
That's okay.
Yes.
And I think it's funny, that book, for me, even this back section, speaking of how people learn and whatever, there's a back section that sort of has no photos and has sort of little extras, like ways to use Greek yogurt, which she calls an all-around teammate. And she has an add-on like flavored with harissa and cumin and sumac and za'atar, or another version with honey and smoked paprika and cayenne. So she's got like all these extras, not just the main recipes, which I really appreciated.
Definitely. I love that kind of
thing.
Yeah.
So what else is in that group?
Well, let's see. There's Ottolenghi Simple, and I have not cooked anything from that one yet, but I'm really loving the look of it. There's a nice kind of graphic look. It's very heavily vegetarian, but it's not vegetarian. You know, some of his most recent books, like Plenty and Plenty More, have been exclusively vegetarian.
Yes.
This has a little bit of meat, but for me, it's almost the perfect balance of, it's like a lot of vegetable recipes and grain recipes and then a few meat recipes. I think it's, and there's one that looked really good. I think it was like scrambled harissa tofu. It just looks delicious.
This harissa thing.
But I have a bunch of recipes bookmarked in that one.
Harissa, harissa, harissa. I keep saying
I know. I know, exactly.
It's a thing. I actually love to put it in at the end when I make butternut squash soup. I'll sometimes just make it really simple with just like, you know, sauteed onion and the squash and puree it really thick and freeze it. And then when I eat a different batch, you know, a different bowlful, sometimes I just use some of the harissa in it, you know, because sometimes I want a spicy bowl and sometimes I don't. And I'll use coconut milk in it, you know, when I make it. But you know what I mean? It's like you can.
Yes.
Yeah. So an add-on. So harissa. And what else is in the group of sort of weeknight-ish?
Okay, well, there's this Milk Street Tuesday Nights, which is by Christopher Kimball, who was formerly with America's Test Kitchen. This is another one. I have not had a chance to make anything yet, but what I really like, there's a lot of really global flavors. And what he says in his intro, which I thought was really interesting, is just that in most parts of the world, that aren't like heavily influenced by French cuisine, which relies a lot on thyme and heat. Most parts of the world, they use things like spices and herbs and flavor pastes and fermented sauces and all these things to create flavor quickly. So this one is organized by fast, faster, fastest.
Oh,
and then I think
I like that.
I know. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good.
I know. And there's a section for pizza nights, and it's just really, everything looks really flavorful. There's a big, beautiful photo for every single recipe, which I know some people really like. There's this Thai spinach that looks really delicious. There's a sesame peanut noodle with miso that looks really good. White balsamic chicken. I mean, so many recipes in that book I have bookmarked well.
And so like Yotam Ottolenghi, who we just talked about with the new Simple Cookbook, and Dory Greenspan, you know, Christopher Kimball, I mean, these are powerhouse people with longevity and long years of influence in the culinary world, yes?
Right, yes, exactly.
And speaking of which, I think there's another one in this category that's like that, too.
Yes, I mean, a couple more. Ina Gartens, Cook Like a Pro. So for Ina fans, there's, you know, they'll love this one. This I've only made one thing. I made the Charlie Bird Farro salad. You cook farro in apple cider, and it was really delicious, really flavorful, something I feel like you could adapt. You know, you could bulk it up with winter squash, you know, if you wanted to make it throughout the winter. So lots of good things in there. And then Melissa Clark also yes. has an Instant Pot, or I guess just an electric pressure cooker cookbook, but it's called Comfort in an Instant. So it's all about comfort food. So for anybody who loves their Instant Pot, this would be a good addition.
And she's so great. I mean, you know, I think she's, again, another person that we turn to again and again in
yes.
contemporary, you know, culinary matters. So, yeah.
Yes. Totally. And I guess one more in that category, and I don't exactly know how to categorize it because I haven't studied it enough, but Cal Peternell's almonds, anchovies, and pancetta. I mean, and it says a vegetarian cookbook, kind of. He's really trying to cook. It's just, I guess he says it's the way he cooks, which is vegetable driven, but not vegetarian. But things like anchovies and pancetta can add a lot of flavor without it being a really meaty sort of dish. And I made the carrot from the first chapter, which is almonds. I made the carrot and saffron soup, which was delicious, made with water. Really simple. And then I topped it with his almond dukkha recipe, which is sesame seeds, cumin, coriander, and crushed almonds. And it's just delicious, vegetarian, really nice.
So he was for many years the chef at Chez Panisse, yeah?
Correct,
And
yes.
he has that. Last year when we were doing sort of some of our favorites from any old year, yours and my cookbooks,
right.
He has that 12 recipes cookbook that I think you
yes.
like a lot. So it's funny, this one had the word anchovies in the title, and I have a friend who's a great cook and a garden mentor, a friend, Marco. And as soon as I saw this book, I sent him a copy, sight unseen. I just, you know, sort of sent it from youknowwhere.com to Marco because he's an anchovy person. I hate anchovies. So it was sort of a giggle between us, you know what I mean? But he's loving the book, so yeah.
I love it. That's so funny. That's great.
Yeah, so another category that I sort of identified was global flavors, yes?
Yes, yes.
And there's
definitely.
Lots going on there. Again, I'm teasing about the harissa all the time, but yeah, there's a lot going on there.
No, there is. There's lots of harissa throughout all the books. That's definitely, you know, a common theme. But yeah, let's see. There's Nick Sharma. He's the blogger behind A Brown Table, and his book is called Season. And he was born in India, but I think has lived most of his life in America. And he says it's not. And I have not tested anything from this book yet, but I'm a big fan of his blog and his work in general. But he says it's not a traditional Indian cookbook. It's influences from growing up in Bombay and then also acclimating to America.
And he writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. His column there,
yes.
I think, is called A Brown Kitchen.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And I mean, what interested me about this book, it's a beautiful book, but that familiar dishes, so like frittata, were totally changed in a way that, you know, I've made a million frittatas, as we all have, right? And every
right.
cuisine seems to have one. But what he put like cilantro and garam masala and turmeric and red chili flakes, besides
right.
the usual garlic and onions, and then some paneer or feta instead of the cheese we might be using. You know, I might have used Parmesan or something in a more Italian influence. And it just, I thought, wow, I've never thought to put those with eggs. But of course, right?
Right. No, I thought there was one of the recipes I bookmarked in there had paneer, and I think it may have had lentils also. It was I think it was roasted cauliflower, lentils, and paneer, and it had all these just flavors that I would never think to put in, and it just looks and sounds so delicious.
Mm. So other ones in that sort of global flavors group?
Yes. Israeli Soul by Michael Solomonoff. And Stephen Cook from Zahav in Philadelphia, and a number of other restaurants now. They have, I think, three or four. I forget all their names. One is called Goldie. It's more like a fast, casual thing in Philadelphia. But I want to make every single thing in this book.
Well, this is the problem. This is the problem with this one. It's a big, colorful, flashy, in-your-face kind of cookbook, right? And I mean, there was like, what do they say? The reveal. Like, is that what they say in like reality shows? The reveal?
Yes.
Like there was this thing, this like grid of pictures of how falafel comes together. Like one of my favorite foods being a vegetarian. And there it was. It was like you throw it all in the Cuisinart. You chop it up a little bit. You throw it in the Cuisinart and it becomes the dough. And you and it was just so like I didn't even practically have to read the recipe to get it, you know. And it was great. And it looked so beautiful and doable.
Yes. No. And I made their quick tahina recipe and their 5-minute hummus recipe, which is you make the quick tahina and then you make the hummus. And it was delicious. And side note, I made this the day before the big tahini recall happened, or whatever.
Recall. Sorry.
And I've survived, so I think I'm okay. But just a note, maybe don't make the tahina right away.
Oh my! So Israeli soul looking good as a choice. And what about together? The cookbook together.
Yes, this is. I have not had a chance to make anything from this, but it looks really beautiful.
And it has a tender story, right? I mean, this features like I think it's like 50 recipes from women whose community was affected by the Grenfell Tower fire. You know, that killed so many people, and I think the Royal Foundation in the UK has supported them coming together and created this book. You know, so it's kind of this beautiful community of healing, and the recipes look delicious. So,
they do.
Other choices?
Another one in that category is A Common Table by Cynthia McTernan. She's the blogger behind Two Red Bowls, and it's she's Korean. Her husband's Chinese. I'm forgetting now, and it's just all about they've lived all over. Oh, he was born in Hawaii. They've lived everywhere, the East Coast, West Coast, and it's just this, it's a book about, it's not, it's not a traditional Korean book, but it's all about her shared cultures. And it's really beautiful. I made her steamed scallion buns, and they were just delicious.
And I think she calls it Two Red Bowls, and I think that's like as in two red bowls on the table for them. And I think there's a third red bowl coming soon. She's having another baby or a baby. It's funny.
Yes. She names all of her family members by bowls. Her husband is Deep Bowl 2, and then her first son is Deep 3, and then I think she has, the fourth is on the way.
It's tworedbowls.com. It's fun. Yes. It's beautiful. So those are some of the global flavors. And we mentioned we didn't know quite where to put almonds on anchovies and pancetta of the calpeternel, but that sort of, has some of those kinds of flavor, but isn't that exactly. And then we head into desserts.
Well, desserts, yes.
There's a lot this year, right?
So many great dessert books. I mean, earlier in the fall, Kristen McGlory's Genius Desserts came out, and I will buy anything Kristen McGlory writes because I love her writing so much. And
tell us a little bit about her, a little backstory.
So she's with Food 52, and her column is that she writes the Genius Recipes column.
Okay.
And her first book was just called Genius Recipes.
Yes.
And every recipe that she writes, she just finds some sort of trick, or there's something unusual about it, or something that saves time, or sort of a Bucks tradition. Things that you say, there are all these rules with like making biscuits or something like that. She'll find some way that's like, no, actually, you don't have to do all that. Here's an easier way or a simpler way. So the Genius Desserts, there's some classic recipes like Dory Greenspan's World Peace Cookies, but there are also some new ones that she kind of unearths. And I made her apple cobbler it's the apple cobbler with the hot sugar crust. And
oh no.
It's so bizarre. Right before you put it in the oven, you pour hot water over the batter, which just feels so counterintuitive, but it makes this delicious crust. So there's things like that in the book that are just
genius desserts. Okay.
Yes. There are a number of bakery cookbooks, which are,
I noticed that.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I know, I noticed that. It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Sister Pie, Red Truck Bakery, Christina Tosi's Milk Bar. They're all, I love when you could just get like a little peek into somebody else's world. And you get that with each of these cookbooks, and they're all very different. Sister Pie is based in a bakery in Detroit, and it's just a beautiful story. I love it so much.
Again, another tender story. She started in her parents' kitchen, I think, and like put out emails saying, I've got pies available, and then it outgrew that, and she crowdfunded, I think. And now I think she's got a dozen or 15 or more employees, and it's a real thing. I mean, it's big.
Yes, totally. And they have this Pie It Forward program, which I think is just so cool. Anybody can, you know, buy a piece of pie, and they string the piece of paper on a clothesline, and then anybody who needs a piece of pie that comes in, who can't afford it or for whatever reason, can cash in one of those pieces, which is just really cool.
And I love the flavors. Like there's one called Blue Barb, you know, blueberries and rhubarb and cardamom tahini squash. So I was like, oh, and again, the tahini thing right now, but whatever, cardamom tahini squash and sweet potato coconut pie.
Ooh. Yes, I know.
Did you try one?
I made, let's see, for Thanksgiving, I made her salted maple pie, which was just absolutely delicious and interesting, and I didn't know this before, but she had worked with Christina Tosi, or maybe not directly with her, but had worked at Milk Bar, and that pie was influenced by Christina Tosi's famous crack pie, which is both of which are like a riff on the classic chess pie, which has, So Christine, anybody who is a fan of Christina Tosi, and I recently watched the Netflix episode on her, which is really good. And she's really just an incredible person. And she's so creative and so inventive. And she's kind of known, she's known for these, I think she sort of popularized the naked cakes, which are not frosted on the sides.
Right.
So you see all the beautiful layers. And she's the one who popularized cereal milk. And anyway, anybody who loves, there are mug cakes in this book, crock pot cakes, cake truffles. She gives her formula for how they make the layer cakes at Milk Bar. So, and it's also written in a very sort of professional format. Everything is grams. So for somebody who likes that kind of baking, that's a good one.
So just because we're going to run out of time, we only have like three minutes left.
Okay.
Let's run through quick, like there's Red Truck Bakery, which is a rural Virginia sort of a destination place that, you know, Travel and Leisure and other places have said to go. And they have a great dessert cookbook and the cookie book, right?
Yes, I love the cookie book.
And that's from Rebecca.
I made the snickerdoodles with my daughter. She loved them. It's beautifully photographed. Yes.
And so, and that's from Rebecca Firth of the Displaced Housewife blog. And so we'll give more info with the transcript and so forth, a little more about some of these. But our last real quick category we call nose to tail, because we both sort of noticed a trendlet in Waste Not, Want Not. And in fact, there's a cookbook that I did last week on the show a week or two ago on the show from James Beard Foundation about really being more conscious about avoiding food waste in the way that we cook. But there's a couple of others that sort of fit into that a little bit.
Yes. Two others, I would say. Cooking with Scraps by Lindsay Jean Hard, who used to work among other places, but she spent a lot of time at Food 52. And then Julia Tertian's Now and Again, which is really cool. It's organized by menus, so like a brunch or a dinner or a lunch, but she not only gives you a timeline, like what you can make ahead, so how you can, you know, from like a month ahead to a week ahead to a day before, but she also gives you ways to use the leftovers. So she has a section after each menu called It's Me Again, and then
It's Me Again.
So she offers ways to use up those the leftovers, and then in the back she has these seven lists with all these like seven ideas to use leftovers from, it could be cooked rice, or it could be takeout leftovers, or not so new produce. So that's a cool one. And I'm also like Lindsay, the cooking with scraps is really cool. I think of somebody who I feel like I tried to be very economical, but I mean, she's made me realize how much more I could use from, like, she makes a banana bread using the banana bread peels. She uses the zucchini. Yeah, I know. I would have never thought to use that. She uses the zucchini stems, which I always chop off. She uses scraps to infuse vinegars and alcohol.
I'm going to have a look at that and see what that's about.
She has great ideas for, you know, things like frittata, stratas, great sort of vehicles for cleaning out the fridge. It's interesting. Things I just never would have thought.
Yeah.
Fennel, I've never used the stock of fennel, and she has ideas for that. It's really cool.
There's a lot of good cookbooks, a lot of great gift books. We're going to be, as I said at the beginning, a 12 days of cookbooks giveaway thing. We're going to have it on Instagram. We're going to have it on Facebook. We're going to have it on our two websites. So Allie Stafford, as always. Now, you might have to add another room to your house if you keep all these books.
I think it's going to become a problem. Yeah, I need to figure something out.
It might
out.
Be a problem already, honey. I'll talk to you soon again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye, Margaret.
Bye.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes and find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or Facebook or Instagram as @AwayToGarden. Happy gardening and cooking meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.